we'd be somewhere else here in the United States. December is a month when we usually hear from friends that we haven't seen for possibly a long time. We enjoy getting together, and many good wishes are expressed in various ways, usually this time of the year. It's a time when we seemingly are willing to express our appreciation and our love for one another. And tonight I would like to read to you a love story. If you'll turn with me to Judges chapter 16. And by now you know who it's about. Judges chapter 16. Starting to read at verse 1. Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there an harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they come past him, and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, In the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and said unto her, Entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, If they bind me with 7 green wreaths that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the Lord of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green wreaths which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber, and she said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the wrist as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire, so his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, Behold, thou hast mocked me, and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith, and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, Hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web, and she fastened it with the pin, and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awake out of his sleep, and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, How canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb, If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man. And she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he woke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. And then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god, and to rejoice. For they said, "Our God hath delivered Samson our enemy into our hand." And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, "Our God hath delivered unto our hand our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us." And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, "Call for Samson, that he may make us sport." And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, "Suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them." Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be once avenged of the Philistines for my 2 eyes." And Samson took hold of the 2 middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his fathers came down and took him and brought him up, and buried him between Zorah and Eshtol in the burying place of Manoah his father, and he judged Israel 20 years. We just bow for a moment of prayer before we comment on this. Our God and Father, we're thankful for thy word. We believe that thou hast a message in this portion for us. We pray that thou wilt speak to each one of our hearts and help us to understand it, just as we sang in the song a little while ago. Help us to understand it. We need thy help to understand thy word and to profit thereby. And we'll give thee the thanks now for it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Getting over a cold, so you may have to bear with me a little bit tonight. Now, the first time I read this chapter, I did not have a very high regard for Samson. But after reading it and rereading it and reading several of the brethren's writings on it, I now see this chapter in a little different light than I did at first. And no doubt some of you have read this portion and taken a critical attitude towards Samson. Well, I'm not here to justify Samson, and I'm certainly not here to condemn him, but I would like us to see in this account an illustration of God's love. By way of introduction, I might just mention that Samson's name means like the sun. Now, when his parents gave him this name, they no doubt had in mind that he would be a shining young man, something like the sun in the sky. But I'm sure that the Spirit of God had something more in it than that. I believe when Samson was named this, that God was giving us a picture of his beloved son. You know, we need all the Bible love stories to help us to appreciate the wonders of divine love. And it's only through human illustration that we can appreciate and understand something of this love of God. Now, like many other Bible people in the Bible, Samson is a picture, I believe, or an illustration of our blessed Lord and Savior. Samson's name means like the sun, but he is not the sun. He's only Samson. Before Samson was born, his mother was told, "Thou shalt conceive and bear a son." Mary, the mother of Jesus, was told, "Thou shalt conceive and bring forth a son." Before Samson was born, his mother was told that he would be a deliverer. It was also announced by the father of John the Baptist, Zacharias, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be a deliverer. So Samson, in many ways, is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, just a word about Delilah. Look at verse 4. "And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah." Now, this is all we know about the history of this woman. Doesn't tell us how old she was. Of course, this is not unusual because this is usually a well-guarded secret among women anyway. But it's not told to us whether she was beautiful. It's not told whether she had any special abilities. What was it that drew out Samson's heart toward Delilah? It simply tells us that he loved her. However, we do get a clue about her background from her name. When I looked up the name Delilah, I found these words connected with it. Afflicted, anguishing, languishing, oppressed, feeble. And when you put these things together, they represent one who is neglected and rejected. Now, she was living in the valley of Sorek, and Sorek means a place of tender vines. Now, here we have a picture of a woman languishing in the presence of bounty. And this, to me, gives me a picture of the sinner. All of us have sinned, you know, so it takes us all in. Here we are in this world, which was created by God Himself. And I know that the curse came upon the earth, but even now we can see many, many signs of its beauty.
God has put everything here needful for us, and man has lived on this earth for thousands of years. He's provided all the elements, the sunshine, the rain, the proper atmosphere, so this earth can produce the things that we need to be sustained here. Think for a moment of the beauty of the landscape. The buds in the spring, the summer greens, the fall arrays of colors in the mountains and the valleys. And I was working up in the northern part of the state. That week we had all that rain. And there you are, I guess, a few weeks ahead of us. And up in there, I mean, those mountains were just beautiful at that time. They had a lot of rain, and occasionally the sun would come out. It was beautiful. They weren't turned down here at that time yet. But we do see a lot of beauty in this valley. I'm an import into the Cumberland Valley, but I really think it's beautiful here, and I hear a lot of talent on people traveling here. I was born and raised in a little valley called Deep Creek Valley. Now, to me, it was beautiful, too, but it's a little different valley than this one. The mountains were closer together, and there was a nice, pretty good stream running through it. But, and then did you ever stand on the shore of the sea and wonder about the mysteries of the sea? You know, there's a saying, there's nothing wrong with the world, it's the people in it. How true that is in many ways. We're concerned now about the ozone and about pollution, and this has been brought about by man. Man is a very destructive creature. But this is a valley of tender vines. But the sinner is just like Delilah, languishing here in the presence of bounty. Oppressed, feeble, and helpless, really. The picture of each one of us in our sins, we are in God's creation, but we have lost communion with Him. The sinner does not know Jesus Christ as God, does not enjoy Him as God. Something has happened, and mankind in general has lost fellowship with Him. I believe it was this very thing that Samson saw in Delilah, which drew out his heart toward her, and he had compassion on her. He loved her, and he wanted to help her. And he tried to give her his love. He wanted her to take advantage of his strength, and he was a tremendously powerful man. He wanted to help her. What other reason could he have had? Because we find out later that she was, shall I say, a miserable wretch. She was just about as low as anyone could come. Yet Samson loved her. I believe Samson loved this woman because he was drawn to her in a very unique way. And as we consider some of the illustrations, some of the qualities of this love, I want you to notice that everyone is an illustration of divine love. First, notice that Samson's interest in Delilah and his attraction toward her was not because of anything in herself. All the effort was from him, and certainly this was a one-sided love affair. Isn't this like the love of God toward us? Was there anything in us that caused God to love us in the first place? Is there anything in us now that keeps God loving us? No, I don't believe it. So if there is, if you can think of anything, I'd wish you'd tell me after the meeting. But the source of this love was began with him. 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Think of when the Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth. Did he see anything in his creatures that were lovable? No. The love was all from him toward us. When he saw those 5,000 hungry people, what does it say? It says Jesus was moved with compassion toward them. Because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And what did he do? He taught them and he fed them. And there was a rich young man, you know, who boasted that he kept all the requirements of the law from his youth. This fellow was really boasting of his works. And Jesus, it says, beholding him, loved him. Had compassion on him. Why? Because he knew that he did not see himself as a sinner in the sight of God. And this is the first requirement if we're going to get right with God. We must see our need. We must see ourselves as sinners. This is something we need to ask ourselves, everyone here, if there's any here not saved. If you've never received Jesus Christ as personal Savior, that is exactly the condition you are in. You are in your sins, you're lost, and on the road to hell. And there's nothing in this world to keep you from landing there. So this isn't a very pretty picture, it's not a very popular message, but it is a message that we need to preach, I believe. We need to get the message across that God loves us. God loved each one of us enough to give his Son to die the cruel death on Calvary's cross so that through faith in that finished work we might be forgiven. And one day spend eternity with him. Remember when the Lord Jesus took the little children up in his arms, the disciples would have pushed them aside, you know. But he said, suffer the little children to come unto me. This is the heart of God, and this is the way we must come to God in our helpless, weak condition. Now notice the first portion we read, Delilah wanted to sell Samson's love for money. In 1 Timothy we read that the love of money is the root of all evil, and certainly we see this truth of the scriptures in action here. This woman was willing to sell the love that Samson was showing toward her for pieces of silver. So she approaches him, no doubt in a moment of confidence. And she said, tell me, Samson, how did you ever get to be so strong? My, you know, that's music in a man's ears. She knew how to get to him. How did you ever get to be so strong? Well, he comes up with a answer there in verse 7. Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Now, they here is referring to the Philistines, and I'm sure that the Philistines had some powerful men. No doubt some big, burly men. But you notice, they did not bind him, and I don't believe they could have. But look who was able to. Look at verse 8, the latter part. And she bound him with them. She's the one that did the binding. Why? Because he loves her. This happened three times. Three times Samson submits. The second time he said again, if they, in verse 11, and he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound them. She did it the second time. The third time he said, if thou weavest the seven locks of my head with the web, Samson no doubt had in mind weaving his hair with some sort of cord, like a weaver does. But this did not seem very secure to Delilah. So she went a little further and she pinned his head right down to the machine. It was probably a large machine, and Delilah was reasonably sure now that she had him this time. But when Samson got up, he just took the pin and the beam, and the whole thing came right with it. No problem. But notice, she was so determined to get the money. She so despised his love that she was willing to pin his head down, pin it fast. No, it makes you wonder how anyone could act this way towards someone that was showing this kind of love toward her. Makes you wonder why he didn't use that strength to shut her up, isn't it? You know, most men would have said, I've had just about all I can take of this. Not Samson. This is a picture of the way you and I have really treated the love of God. Before we were saved, we spurned that love. Those who are still unsaved are still spurning that love, and they are asking God to come down and submit to their terms. People are today finding fault with the laws of God. They are charging him with this and charging him with that. Some say, if God is a God of love, why is he allowing all these terrible things to happen today? They fail to realize that every breath they breathe is given to them by God himself. Who made the oxygen? I just read recently, you probably saw it too, of those three men that lost their lives in a, within a silo or a tank of some kind. And they found out later that it was a lack of oxygen in that tank. Excuse me. Think how easy it is for God just to withhold our breath and we're gone. But he gives us the oxygen we need because he loves us. He's provided us with everything needful. But what is our attitude toward him? I believe in our sins, we have the same attitude toward God that Delilah had toward Samson. Every time Delilah bound Samson, he broke away. He was trying to prove to her that his strength could be for her, but she couldn't see it that way. She said, how can you say you love me when you have mocked me these three times? Well, God proved his love to us when he gave his only begotten son. And now he offers salvation to all who will put their trust in him. And you know, the moment you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive many benefits. People are so wrapped up in benefits today, and they're missing out on the most wonderful benefits of all. Employers are just trying to outdo each other with benefits to attract top employees. But think of it for a moment. With salvation, you receive eternal life. And with eternal life comes power. People want to get rich, you know. And then when they get rich, they find out this isn't just so wonderful, so then they want power. They want to maneuver themselves in the position of power. Well, you and I have power. Oh, you say, oh, yeah, sure we do. John 1:12, but as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. The love of God is powerful and brings many blessings. Notice in verse 15 and 16 that Delilah kept after Samson. She kept coaxing and nagging and irritating him. Why, you say you love me and you're just lying to me, you're mocking me. And instead of him turning against Delilah and rejecting her, instead of that, he broke down and he gave in to her. She certainly deserved to be smitten, but instead he was gracious toward her. He asked, what did you and I deserve? With all of our irritating him, yet he was patient with me, I'll tell you. He was long-suffering with me. I didn't accept him the first time I heard the sign of salvation. But I thank God that he didn't give me up. He kept pleading with me and drawing me to himself. And even now he comes every day with fresh tokens of his love. This is the heart of Christ. Read verse 16. Came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. You know, I wondered what this vexed unto death meant. And I did a good bit of digging. I couldn't quite imagine what it meant. But I believe I got the answer. Samson was unable to prove his love, and now he realized that he was going to have to lay his life down for her. And I believe that is what this vexed unto death really means. He tried everything, but he realized now that she wasn't seemingly able to understand. And I think it gives us a picture of his love as being gracious, as being sacrificial, and certainly the love of the Lord Jesus was no less toward us. Turn with me, please, to Romans. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Samson left Delilah in on his secret, and she learns how to bring about his death. And in verse 19, we learn how she did it. They were no doubt very comfortable on the couch. He had his feet propped up and had his head on her lap. And she was going through the motions of love, pretending that she loved him. And at the same time, she called this man to shave off his hair, and then she began to afflict him. And we have we have also afflicted the one that has loved us. You and I were not at the cross when Jesus was nailed there, but I'm sure that we have hearts exactly like those Roman soldiers and exactly like those religious leaders of the day. And had we been there, the probability would have been the same, that you and I would have done those terrible things to him. Because it was your sins and mine that put him there. Well, in verse 20, we see that the Lord departed from Samson. And when the Lord Jesus was hanging in the cross, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? For 3 hours, darkness came over all the earth. There was never anything like it before or since. And the Lord Jesus was bearing your sins and mine. This was so awful that God blacked it out. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We find that the Lord forsook Samson, and the Philistines gouged out his eyes. They hung a ball and chain on him, and he was made to work grinding in the prison house. And they also gathered together to offer sacrifices unto Dagon, their heathen god, because they figured that he was the one that captured Samson. And then they brought Samson in to make fun of him. Now this is what Samson's love caused him to endure. But I'm sure it's only a very dim picture of what the love of Christ endured for you and for me. When our Lord hung on the cross, there were those standing by who mocked him, who hit him, who spit upon him, and did many terrible things toward him. Made fun of him, saying, come down from the cross and we'll believe you. You saved others, why don't you save yourself? And so on. Could our Lord have come down from the cross? Physically, yes. It wasn't just those nails that held him there. It was his love for you and me. So spiritually speaking, no. He gave himself for us. Samson died in a much different way than the Lord, but look at the results. The last part of verse 30, we read, there were more Philistines, that is, more of the enemy, whose lives were taken in his death than in his life. So here was a victorious death. In Hebrews chapter 2, we read that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. We also see that he is the captain of our salvation. A captain is one who goes ahead, one who leads. And he died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. He was raised the third day. He's now in heaven. And because he is there, you and I have a guarantee that we are going to be there one day too. We're putting our trust in him. He died alone, but the result of that death will mean many sons in glory. Now this love story here in Judges 16 has given me a very dim picture of God's love. I know it really can't be compared with the love of God. And it maybe as a comparison to help us to understand it a little better, but Think of it, when Christ died for our sins, it was the full expression of God's love for us. And we might just ask ourselves tonight, does it mean anything to me? I really think it should melt our hearts. And if there's any who have never put their trust in Christ, it should cause those who cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Brothers and sisters, have we really responded to this love in the way that we should have since we've been saved? This is a question we need to ask ourselves. The hymn writer put it this way, love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. Have you given him your all? I haven't, I must confess that. Many times I wonder, I'm thankful for his power that draws me back and keeps me in the fold. Many times we get so taken up with other things, you know, and we get out of fellowship with the Lord. I do. I'm thankful that he doesn't give me up. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. That doesn't leave much out, does it? May God help each one of us to respond to him in a way that would be pleasing to him. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we're thankful for thy word, for thy the power of thy word, which pierces even to the thunder. We're thankful that thou dost deal with us in a way that is needful here in this life. Thou dost not leave us go our own way, but we pray that thou wilt continue to work in our hearts and lives and cause us to be on fire for thee in the little while we're left here in this life. We're thankful for this little time together. We think of thy word that has gone forth in many ways and in many places this day by faithful servants of thine, and we pray, our God, that thou wilt add thy blessing and continue to speak to each one of us in the days ahead. As we part now and go to our homes, we pray for safety. As we go back to our work this coming week, we pray that thou wilt continue to guide and direct and help us to be a witness and a testimony to thee wherever we may go. And we'll give thee the thanks for it all in the worthy and precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.